Hello and welcome to Flutzes and Waxels, a figure skating podcast to satisfy all of your skating news, analysis, and recap needs. I'm Mary Margaret Mertzos.
And I'm Alicia Mertzos, and we're sisters with a lifelong love for figure skating, practicing, watching, and discussing. So let's delve deep into what's happened in the skating world this week at Worlds.
Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty enjoyable World Championships, all things considered.
It was still very bizarre for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah, a lot has happened in the past month approximately since we were last podcasting, and this competition was definitely impacted by a huge number of things. Overall, though, it was good to see a pretty good competition across most of the disciplines. We had some really happy podiums, which was exciting to see after the Olympics.
We had a wonderful crowd who were very engaged and supportive of essentially every single skater.
Mm-hmm. Some really fantastic skating, and for me, maybe the best men's event of this entire season, which is a miracle.
The best men's event in quite a while, honestly.
Yeah.
Like more than a season, like several seasons.
Yeah. So there was a lot great to take away from this World Championships. Obviously, it has to be mentioned that, I mean, post-Olympic worlds are always a little bit strange. People are usually tired after the long season leading up to an Olympics.
A lot of the skaters who will retire at the end of the season do so after the Olympics and don't stick it out for worlds. That was the case here.
There's oftentimes a lot of people wanting to get redemption from an Olympics that maybe didn't go their way, and either succeeding or failing in that, depending on how things go. Obviously, this year as well, there were no Russian or Belarusian athletes here, which, you know, is a little bit strange to see. But at the same time, I, you know, enjoyed this competition, and I think, you know, bringing politics into it by having both they and Ukrainian skaters here as well would have made things a little bit awkward. And the Russians had their own, you know, Channel One Cup going on. At least they're still keeping busy, and we'll see how long the ban holds. But at least for now, it was overall, I think, a pretty good World Championships.
And there will always be that caveat of the Russians not being allowed to compete here. But with everything that's going on, it was a necessary decision. There was going to be a statement either way.
Yeah. And it was also great to see a whole lot of support for the Ukrainian skaters here as well. And we'll talk about them as we go through, but just in general, it was good to see them being able to compete here, although now just have to wonder what comes next for these athletes. Who knows? It's unfortunate, you know, the world intruding in on figure skating. Yeah. It seems to happen with more and more frequency of late, but
yeah, that might be the world. That also might just be us growing up.
Well, yeah.
So much of the nostalgia I have for figure skating being so divorced from reality is from when we were children.
Yeah. Not from a time before skating was political, but before we were political. And it's important to always keep that in mind. When I was young and dumb and didn't know any better, it was more fun.
Yes.
But we are going to divide up by discipline, although we did decide to get the one discipline over with that was a bit of a letdown, unfortunately.
It is no secret that we really enjoy the Russian pairs and the Chinese pairs, and obviously both were missing.
And I think also just after that high of the Olympic pairs event, which was just so fantastically skated, and especially after all the drama that had come before, it's such a relief. It was what we left off the Olympics on. Coming to an event here where at the end of the day we had 12 teams who completed the competition, a ton of withdrawals, whether it be, you know, Russian and Belarusian athletes not allowed to come, China not deciding not to send any skaters, a number of people getting COVID, people either retiring or presumably retiring post-Olympics. It bummed me out a little to see such a small field.
And it wasn't a super well-skated event for the most part.
I mean, I think For a lot of the other disciplines where, you know, there was some room at the top of the podium, I think it really energized some skaters. This was the one discipline for me where I kind of felt that pressure of, oh, wow, I could be world champion, negatively affected a couple teams here. And it's a shame. It's understandable, but it is a shame.
Yeah.
And then you add to that that it's just such a small field. And, I mean, we have been worried about the state of international pair skating for a while. It's going great in Russia, but not really anywhere else in the world, unfortunately.
The U.S. is starting to get on an upswing, but a lot of their pair teams are older, and a lot of them have quite a lot of issues with injury, and so... And
frequent splits. One more rumored one that hasn't been confirmed yet that I hope's not true, but just put that out there.
So there is some hope, but also it's not looking great.
Well, and even too, the other strange thing is, you know, normally the World Championships is the end of the season, unless we have something like World Team Trophy. But this year, because of a postponement, Junior Worlds is going to be what we're ending the season off on. And those entries are up. And for pairs, 3 weeks out, we have 10 entries.
Yep.
And that's before any potential withdrawals. And I would love for that not to happen. It wouldn't shock me if it did. There were so few junior pairs on the JGP this season. Junior Worlds does have tech minimums, and so few teams have them at
particularly all, because there are less opportunities in pairs because it's already a small discipline.
Yep.
And so a lot of teams get one shot, and if you don't get your tech minimums, that one shot, too many federations, I'm looking at you, Skate Canada, refuse to send them out to other junior internationals to get those tech minimums.
Like, perfect example, there are two Canadian junior pairs entered at Junior Worlds. If one of them has to withdraw for some reason, there's going to be one Canadian junior pair.
If two of them
have to withdraw, there are going to be no Canadian junior pairs because they don't have minimums.
We have a good number of junior Canadian pairs, but all of them, barring, I think it was one team, got two JGP entries, and all of the others got one.
Well, most didn't get any.
Yeah.
I think
we sent out four?
Two, I'm pretty sure. Anyway.
Yes, but regardless, the problem is each federation, Russia notwithstanding.
Yes, they are the huge exception to this.
Is refusing to develop pairs, and this is how we wind up with this pairs field.
Yeah, I'm concerned, unfortunately, and this, I really, really hope that, for example, this success for the U.S. will help teams be motivated to continue and more teams to come up. The Japan, well, maybe they can have three teams at Worlds next year if they get the minimums.
Find one more who can get your minimums. I would be happy if Japan can find a second pair team in the next year that can get tech minimums.
But yeah, it alarms me, and I hope that I'm worried for no reason. But yeah, this combined
history
with,
has proven that we are not concerned for no reason.
Yeah. Again, I love the Russian pairs, and there are a ton of great teams there, but it really, work needs to be done to develop it internationally. Yeah. Anyway, let's
get talk into about what actually happened.
Exactly. There was some really great skating here, but I think we're going to start with our mid-competition withdrawals. Again, as we mentioned, there were a ton withdrawing before the competition even started, but our first team out were Holochenko and Derensky from Ukraine, who came and skated their short program and did really quite well, again, all things considered. I'm not sure exactly how much training time they've had, but I am sure it has not been much.
From what I have heard of the other Ukrainian skaters, it has been next to nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, you could see they were watering down the tech content of what they were going for, which I think was absolutely the right thing. I think it comes across as a much stronger program if you're, you know, not having any falls or anything because you're doing what you know you can do. And importantly, not risking injuring yourself because that just compounding an already awful situation.
Absolutely. So they withdrew after the short program. Only one Ukrainian skater in this event across all disciplines completed both programs, mm-hmm. but I was glad to see these two and all of the other Ukrainian skaters make a showing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also for these two as well, they got a brand new short program, which also just yep. complicates things, but very clearly all of the skaters from Ukraine wanted to send a message. They yeah. were not here to win, but to, you know,
make a statement,
maybe give some hope to, you know, other people who will watch them and, you know, have a nice distraction, be yeah. inspired and be glad to see, you know, just such an upswell of support from the crowd, mm-hmm. which was really, really nice to see. Yeah. Honestly,
it was quite moving how mm-hmm. supportive everybody in that audience, including a lot of the other skaters, were
yep.
of every Ukrainian skater at this event.
Yep. And then our other withdrawal, this was a real tough one.
Yeah.
So Ashley Kane Gribble and Timothy LeDuc from the U.S. had a really fantastic short program. Were in second, about a point off of top mm-hmm. spot, and just looking as confident as they were at the Olympics and at their best and really excited. And it's just such a shame that injury derailed them yet again.
Yeah.
I mean, she started this season suffering the after effects of COVID and took a while to get back up to form. They've had really scary incidents with head injuries mid-program before. Yep. And at least this time when Ashley fell and hit her head, they just stopped. Yeah. They didn't try and continue. I'm very glad that they didn't, you know, risk
greater their health, injury.
Yeah, by trying to continue. But obviously it's always tough to watch.
Yeah.
Somebody getting injured in front of your eyes and wondering, you know, how serious is it? Is she going to be okay? And also, I'm sure they're also feeling that loss of potential.
Yeah.
They absolutely could have finished on the podium here. They maybe could have even won, depending yeah. on how things went, if they had been able to be perfectly clean. And to be fair, she had had a couple falls by the time that she hit her head.
And that's where I do kind of wonder if there was a little bit more going on before, mm-hmm. just because all three falls
yeah.
were quite hard.
Yeah.
And so it was very obviously necessary for them to stop
yeah.
after that third fall, not just because of the whiplash and her head hitting the ice, but mm-hmm. because something was clearly off from the beginning of that program.
Yeah. And it's good that, again, that they've learned from unfortunate mistakes of the yeah. past, that Golden Spin 2019, I think it was, when they
yeah.
continued after she was knocked out cold, and at least we didn't do that happen here. I still, the referee
leaving the music playing for mm-hmm. far too long after Timothy was like cradling Ashley
mm-hmm. when she was clearly not okay.
At best, like, dizzy and kind of dissociated.
Mm-hmm.
At worst, potentially actually out cold for a moment on the ice. It's mm-hmm. hard to tell from the video.
Well, and they were also, like, right underneath the yep. judges' stand, too. So it might have been a bit hard to see. But, the ISU really needs to take a hard look at their concussion protocols yeah. and have less fear about stopping programs yeah. for the sake of skaters' health and safety. Luckily, here, the referee didn't need to make the decision, but what if they had needed to make that decision?
What about last time when mm-hmm. the referee should have made the decision for
yeah.
them?
Yeah.
These two are experienced and they're fully grown adults.
Mm-hmm.
I worry slightly less about them because they are fully grown adults with lots of experience.
Yeah.
But this happens to most pair teams at some point in their career. There is some sort of terrible injury.
Yeah.
And the fact that we do not have a solid, clear policy that the referee must stop the program
mm-hmm.
if it is clear an athlete has hit their head.
Yeah. And again, and maybe immediately it wasn't clear to the referee that Ashley had hit her head. But after she was clearly lying there for a little while. She did not get up. Yeah, she was slow even just to sit up. Like, just...
No senior level athlete decides mm-hmm. to lay on the ice after falling yeah. for no reason.
Yeah. It's time to have stricter and just clear. Just actually do your job. That is what the referee is supposed to do.
The referee is a stopwatch and an injury prevention. That's essentially their only job.
Yeah. Just.
And they never do them.
Yeah. It's. And again, luckily, Ashley seems to be doing okay. They, you know, checked her out. But I mean, the other hard thing too, and we mentioned this at the start of the season, this was the free skate they used the last time she knocked herself out on the ice. And it's hard not to feel like, oh no, this program is just cursed. Why did you back to this?
That's how I felt at the beginning of the season. And then it was going well.
Yeah.
But this program is cursed.
Yeah, it's such a shame. I hope they continue on and we'll, you know, try again next season. They are just looking so strong and confident, and I think they bring a lot to the world of pairs. And again, I just, as many teams as we can beg and plead with to stay in the game would be great, because as we mentioned, it's looking a little dire at the moment. But I really hope that this isn't the end of their competitive career, to end on a really sad note. It's just such a shame when you think of what might have been. Even if they just skated the way that they had at the Olympics, that definitely would have been enough for a podium. Even if they'd been messy here and injury free, still probably would have been enough for the podium here.
At worst, they would have been fourth.
Yeah, so that's a shame. And obviously that came, you know, right at the end of the free skate. They were the second last team in the free skate. And it's a shame that, in a way, it, for me, overshadowed a bit Knierim and Fraser from the U.S., their teammates, who won this competition, and very much deservedly so. They were far and away the strongest, cleanest, most confident-looking team in this event. And I mean, also kudos to them. They had to go right after that scary moment where, you know, the medics
are out on the ice. I mean, at least Ashley was like alert and
and not fully out cold, but clearly not okay. Yeah, the fact that Knierim and Fraser were able to go out after that and skate clean in a free skate, really is remarkable. And especially too, they were definitely one of those teams, maybe the team with the most expectation placed on them, because, you know, once the Russian teams and the Chinese teams were out, they had the highest season's best. They were next highest at the Olympics. There was a lot of attention on, oh, can they do it? And can they win the first gold for the U.S. in pairs since however many decades? I don't remember when. It has 70s?
I think it was the 70s. It's been a very, very long time. The U.S. doesn't medal in pairs normally, let alone win.
At least in, you know, recent decades. Yeah. So there was huge opportunity, and I'm sure potential for huge pressure to be on them.
I mean, at least in the short program, there was kind of even pressure.
Yeah.
Because both teams skated exceptionally well, and there was that, like, okay, if we mess it up, they're right behind us, and we're not going to completely do it in.
Yeah.
But after watching them not be able to finish their free skate, there was a real risk of spiraling, of panic, that they're not right there to still be on the podium if we mess this up.
Yeah. It was really impressive to see, honestly. And yeah, for me, just...
far and away the best set of skates.
Far and away the best, and a relief after that scary moment. Just say, okay, we have a really strong, really solid pairs program here to cap things off.
I feel kind of bad for them, because both of their programs were kind of overshadowed for me. The free skate for reasons we talked about. The short program, because I still want to know what's going on with the lawsuit.
And the music. They skated to the same program they had all season.
If presumably you missed
the musicians of the piece they used for the short program had a suit against them and NBC and a few other entities saying, no, you
don't have the rights to this music, except you have to pay for them. USFS would have paid for them. If USFS
and NBC.
If USFS and NBC didn't pay for them, I would be shocked. It was probably settled behind closed doors, but I want to know what happened.
Yes. But yeah, that's another thing too, that was, you know, this extra pressure on them. The fact that they managed to skate clean, I think probably the best total competition of their careers together. Yep. And I mean, it's been a short career together, but the fact too that a team who's so new together, only been skating together for 2 years, was able to, you know, be so in sync with all of this going on. Yeah, they absolutely deserve that world title. And I'm curious to see where they go from here. If I hope they too stick it out again. As many pairs as I can just beg to stick it out.
Please don't let us have 7 teams at next year's Worlds.
Yeah, that would make me really sad. But at least these two, fantastic outings. Yes. And I was really glad that at least they ended the night so we could end on a real high note. Second place, we had Miura and Kihara from Japan. And in a lot of ways, these two as well had a ton of pressure of expectation on them, because they also absolutely had the potential at their best to win a world title here. And I think for them, you could see that pressure, particularly on Riku, a little bit.
Yeah. Particularly in the free skate. The short program went, aside from one element, very well.
Yeah.
But I do think the combination of it going almost perfectly and the fact that that was only enough for third in this field.
And knowing that they would have to make up some ground if they wanted to win outright.
I think that added a lot of extra pressure on top of the pressure they have, I'm sure, from the Federation, but especially from themselves. They're a very ambitious pair.
Well, and I mean, in terms of history making, as much history as it is for Knierman Fraser to win, it would be even more for Miura and Kihara to win. It would be the first title in pairs for Japan ever. Yep. That would have been huge. And it's still fantastic that they came so, so close. And I think they should be happy with the amazing season that they've had.
They want to stick it out 8 more years. You got time.
Yes, please. That made me so glad to hear that they intend to stick it out another 8 years. Please, I beg.
Go at least 4. Mm-hmm. And then if you need a break, take your break, but come back.
I mean, they just have so much potential, clearly. Some fantastic elements and a great rapport with each other. It's a shame that Riku's jumps were just a little too shaky in the free skate. In a way, they, you know, got a bit lucky in a way that other teams were also a little bit messy. But I think, you know, just the strength of their overall skating and especially performance, too, does more than enough for them to deserve that silver medal here. And that's still huge. Still the highest placing for any Japanese pair team at Worlds. Still gives Japan the chance, if they could but fight for it, to have 3 pair teams at next year's World Championships.
You'd better have them going to all of those ice shows that happened during the off-season in Japan and recruiting.
I really, really hope, and I mean, this is something we've talked about for years at this point, but that this is some real success from a Japanese pair team. And I really, really hope that it'll inspire other Japanese single skaters to give pairs a try. They have so much talent that, you know, never sees international competition in the singles disciplines, that if we could just get some of them trying out pairs.
Daisuke, I know it's your passion to build ice dance in Japan. Can you bring these two with you while you do that, so that if they don't want to try ice dance, they can try pairs?
Or even, where's Narumi Takahashi? I'm not sure what she's up to nowadays, but
whatever she's doing, JSF, surely you have the money to pay her whatever she would need to develop pair skating in Japan, to pick out the kids that don't quite make it to nationals and say, you two have a good enough height difference to manage a pair program. Go try.
Yeah. You, skater, are, you know, fearless enough to be willing to be thrown. And you, skater, are strong enough to and strong enough to do the lifting. Let's try it out and see what happens. We said this last year and it didn't really come to fruition, but I really, really hope that these two will inspire more Japanese skaters to try out pairs. And maybe, I think three is probably unlikely, yeah. but maybe we can have a second Japanese pair at Worlds next year. Can I see just one more?
Even if you're last, yes. it would be huge to have two Japanese pair teams mm-hmm. at Worlds and have one with a real medal shot,
yep.
because even with everybody else there, they will have a medal shot if they skate the way they did all this season.
Yep.
And a second pair.
Yep.
To go and have an opportunity.
Yep.
Please, Japan. Please.
And then wrapping up the podium in third, we had Jameson Radford from Canada, who really had a redemptive skate competition for them after the Olympics, where they were a bit disappointed with the scores. Yeah. And it wasn't, you know, totally clean here. But I think for me, this as a pair and in terms of their unison as a pair who's been together like only just a year, for me, this is the most cohesive they've looked.
Yes.
And the most confident they've looked just as a team in the spacing, in the performance, most notably the lifts were looking better here, which for me has been a huge sticking point yeah. all season long. They're still not the best in the world, but they're definitely improved over earlier this season.
None of the lifts, except for the last lift in the free skate, made me worried he was going to drop her,
mm-hmm.
which is the first time that's happened all season.
Yeah.
And part of that, they got some help from the camera work.
Yes, definitely. In fairness, and this wasn't just for these two, it was for a lot of the pairs and also in the ice stands, but the camera really liked to, you know, come close up onto the lifted partner and like just show them looking happy and, you know, stretched out in whatever position on the top of the lift. And maybe you can see the face of the person yeah. doing the lifting.
Or in the case of Vanessa and Eric's final lift,
mm-hmm.
Eric's hand yes. shaking.
Yeah, but you can't see the feet, and that what makes me nervous a lot of the time. And yeah, that is a caveat with this. My overall impression of the free skate especially was that the lifts looked better. I also couldn't see him fully throughout a lot of the lifts.
Yeah.
So, you know, make of that what they will. But I do think this was definitely their strongest competition of the season. And in a field like this, where, you know, if you can get your elements done with as few mistakes as possible, that was what was needed mm-hmm. to get up onto the podium.
Yeah, I mean, they capitalized on mistakes that other teams made,
mm-hmm.
particularly in that free skate, to climb up onto the podium.
Yeah.
And in this field with our top five teams missing,
mm-hmm.
that set them up really well to get a medal here.
Mm-hmm. And they were even second in the free skate,
yeah.
which definitely helped them out. They, again, it was a case where it was a bit of a messy event from just
yeah.
about everybody outside of our winners, but they capitalized and were some of the least messy out
yeah.
of everybody, especially in the free skate, really.
I was going to say, the short program was a lot better than mm-hmm. the free skate, mostly because there are less elements, particularly
yeah.
less jumping elements.
Yeah.
So their mistakes in the short program had them a little bit further back. But once we get into the free skate, where they made a couple of mistakes.
Yeah, mainly it was just the three jump combination.
Yeah.
And even there, they did still get three jumps. One of them was a single and
yes.
it was off timing. But you got the base value.
Exactly.
And a lot of times in pairs, that's real
the
trick on the side-by-side jumps is just getting some base value there.
Particularly when we compare them to Miura and Kihara, who they mm-hmm. almost beat and did beat in the free skate, where they had a double-toe combination.
Yep.
That's the kind of thing that can pull them up quite a lot in
yep.
the free skate.
And it'll be interesting to see for them, too. What do they continue on next season? I don't really know. Maybe they also just don't really know at this point. We'll have to see. But just more pairs of all kinds, please.
Yeah.
Fourth place, we had Safina and Berlava from Georgia. And they were also a last-minute replacement. I felt a bit for Metelkina and Parkman, the other
yeah.
Georgian team, who are also really good. This is not the first time they've been just swapped out at the last
yeah.
minute for these two. And it's understandable because these two absolutely had a shot at being on the podium here,
mm-hmm.
maybe even winning if all
yeah.
went, you know, their way.
If Kinnear and Fraser did what American pair teams are wont to do often mm-hmm. and did not land a single side-by-side jump.
And if these two were completely perfect, landed all the jumps, got all their levels.
As they often are.
Yeah, they could have conceivably won. Unfortunately, there was not their best skate here, yeah. which is a shame. Mainly it was levels, the leveled elements that yeah. did them in. And, I mean, you do have to wonder for these two as well. They normally train in Russia. Mm-hmm. I am sure their situation has also been a bit disruptive. I believe they were training in Italy before Worlds.
But they were training without a coach at Worlds because none of the Russian coaches were allowed to attend.
Although, Serenko was there. And I'm not sure what the story is there, but I'm pretty sure he's Russian.
I mean,
I don't know.
I just assumed he has citizenship in a country like Georgia.
Yeah, that would be my guess. But in fairness, Slusarenko was there. He was the only Russian coach who was actually at the World Championships. So they weren't, you know, obviously in as bad a state as the Ukrainian teams and Ukrainian skaters. But they, I'm sure, were still, again, a last-minute replacement yet again. They have competed so much this season.
I was
going to
say, their season started very early.
In August.
Their season started in August on the JGP.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been competing, like, every 3 weeks since.
Yeah. And so it's not that surprising, unfortunately, to see some of these mistakes creeping in. I'm sure the ones that they'll be most frustrated with are the lifts. Because you know, GOE-wise, they've got some really good scores there because they just have great speed and flow across the ice. But
her positions are gorgeous.
Yep. But they were definitely looking a little shakier. They can get a little wild, these two, and uncontrolled when nerves come in.
They are very youthful and exuberant for better and for worse.
Exactly. And it's a shame, especially, again, they were 6 points less than, 5.5 points off the podium here. It really did come down to those levels. And while it's too bad that they weren't able to capitalize and push onto the podium here, they are still teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope, again, another thing I've been saying all season long, but Georgia now has 2 spots in pairs at next year's World Championships. Again, I hope Matilkina and Parkman will get the chance to go since they've been missing out all season long. But more Russian teams. You can't compete for Russia right now. Maybe give Georgia a try. Maybe.
Georgia, any of the other countries that'll have you?
Yeah.
Georgia's good too, and they've got 2 spots.
Yes.
Try out some of the other places.
It'll be interesting as well to see, because again, this is such a weird season that they just missed out on the podium here, but they're slotted to go to Junior Worlds.
Yep.
And frankly, if they don't win Junior Worlds, it'll be an oddity, I think.
Yeah.
So
lots of world standing points for these two this season.
Exactly. And I mean, they're already guaranteed 2 Grand Prix, senior Grand Prix slots because of where they finished here. They're even seeded, which is fantastic. But they can really end on a high if they're able to, you know, go and skate strong at Junior Worlds. It's going to be tough because, again, this has been such a long season for them. But I hope that they can end it a little bit happier than here. I think they were a bit disappointed to miss out on the podium.
I mean, understandably, all of these skaters are perfectionists.
Yeah.
And for a team that I'm sure knew that they could add a bare minimum medal here, missing out on the podium, particularly by 5.5 points, I understand why they're disappointed.
Yeah.
But they're also still teenagers. You got time.
Lots and lots of time. Fifth, we had Haza and Ziegert from Germany. And it was really good to see these two have a much better overall competition than at the Olympics, which was a tough one for them, also impacted by COVID. And they had a rough free skate there. Wasn't fully clean here.
But it was much better.
Yeah, and you could tell they were just thrilled with what they were able to put out here. Really, in the free, it was just that throw triple loop that went awry. The rest was really fantastic, and I really love both these programs for them. The short program was a little messier, mainly just in those final side-by-side spins yet again.
Yeah.
I truly and seriously, for next season, let's not put the side-by-side spins last. we start the short program and we end the short program with their weakest elements. And I don't think that's a good strategy. I understand you put the twist first.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
But we don't have to put the spins last.
Exactly. Bury it in the middle somewhere.
Exactly. End on a stronger note. I felt that all season. And yeah. It was really the case here. It was really tight between them and James and Radford for fifth place.
Yeah.
And I think those spins might have done it for them, at least in that segment. Obviously, overall, it wouldn't have made that much of a difference. But
it might have had them about a place higher. They were only 2 points back of fourth place.
Exactly.
So, work on your spins, people.
Yes. But overall, great to see them looking happy with the result here. And I also don't know for them if they plan to continue, but please, please do.
Don't you dare retire.
It's two spots for Germany at Worlds next year. I want to see you here this time next year, please.
Please.
Sixth, we had Walsh and Michaud from Canada. And not too bad of a competition for these two. Their high point of the season still was definitely Nationals. They were a little shakier at Worlds than they were there. But overall, finishing in the top six at a world championship and not making, you know, too many huge mistakes.
I mean, the free skate was really quite solid. The side-by-side jumps were not great. I never expect them to be great.
Yeah.
They got them done okay enough,
mm-hmm.
which, again, is all I expect. The throw triple toe was not great, but
she stayed on her feet. That's the most important thing. It's a far sight better from how they started their season.
Yes.
And these two as well, they're not quite as young as like Safina and Berilava, but they're still really young as well. And they're now seated. They're top six at a world championship. I hope that this can help out their confidence for next season.
And the confidence in them.
That too would be nice, but I don't know how much we can ask for that, unfortunately, but Moore Towers and Marinaro are retired. We don't know about James and Radford, but even if James and Radford are still around, these two helped maintain, helped gain an extra spot at Worlds for pairs for Canada next season and are seeded. Hopefully as well they can stay healthy so we can, you know, have a better start to the season early.
Maybe,
I think that's done them in a few times in the past.
Maybe they will finally get lucky enough to not get Skate America.
Yet again, Skate Canada, if you are willing to consider, give them two later Grand Prix. I really do think it would help.
Do not send them to Skate America at a minimum. Yeah. It never goes well.
Yeah.
Give them, we see that these two take a little bit longer than some of the other teams to get going.
Mm-hmm.
Even just an extra week.
Would help. But overall, a great opportunity for them. And again, top six at Worlds.
Yeah.
Can't complain about that at the end of the day. Seventh, we had Ziegler and Kiefer from Austria. And this was their last competition for these two. And really great to see a much better competition for them than they had at the Olympics. They have had a really tough season due to injury, and it's especially frustrating since this is their last competitive season. But I was really glad to see they really capped it off with a bang. The throws and the free weren't great, but the rest of the programs were just joyful. They looked so happy to just be there performing for everybody.
I'm going to miss them so much.
They're
so good. And Some of the elements have never been the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
Their twist has never been amazing, but it's gotten to the point where I'm not worried about it, and I will take it. The jumping elements, like every team, are inconsistent.
And the side-by-side jumps, actually, were quite good here.
Yes. But everything else they do so well and with such great connection between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. You could see that this was a really emotional set of skates for them, and it's hard not to get emotional watching. And maybe we can see them start developing some more pair teams in Austria or, you know, in Europe from whatever country. I do not care.
Host pair seminars all year, every year.
Yep.
Pick a town and just stay there and invite people to come and try pairs, because they exude so much the joy of what makes pairs so enjoyable to watch.
Yep. So that was our top seven. Go through briefly a couple of the other teams here. Our home team, Kovalev and Kovalev from France, also did really quite well here. Mm-hmm. And top 10 means two spots for France at next year's World Championship. So hopefully that will help them too with confidence and going forward to next season.
They're a really exciting pair, and I'm glad we're getting to see them a bit more often now.
Mm-hmm. Similarly for the Netherlands, there is room for two pairs at World Championships next season due to Danilova and Siba finishing in ninth. These two have so much potential. I just, some finesse needed on the jumping elements, and that was the case here. But they have some really fantastic elements, and I can't wait until the day when we can just see them get it all together.
Once they find the right jump coach, it is all going to come together.
Yep. And our final top 10 team getting two spots at next year's Worlds, Jones and Boyaji for Great Britain. They have said that she's going to retire, and I mean, you can't really blame her.
I would love to see Zoe Jones continue to compete, but I can only imagine the toll this has taken on her poor body.
Mm-hmm. But capping it all off with top 10 at Worlds and, you know, providing opportunities for the next generation. And there are some young British pair teams up and coming. So hopefully they can fill up those spots.
Yeah.
Let's have more than 12 teams at Worlds next year.
Please.
And then 11th, we had Broda and Betagón Martín from Spain. The other team not here that we forgot to mention is due to another doping case, but at least a great opportunity for these two to get some experience. And I think these two as well have lots of potential. I really like their connection together.
The development of skating in Spain is so exciting to me. I love it so much.
Yep. And then finally, 12th, we had Kops and Krasnopolsky from Israel. And I think these two looked a bit tired after the long season they've had. Had some real struggles for her on the jumps and then also on the lift in the free skate.
Yeah, that lift was scary.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's, you know, ended on this note.
Yeah.
I believe he has said that he's going to be retiring. I'm not sure if Haley Copps has any plans beyond this, but it would be great to see her continue and find a new partner. She's still quite young and I think has lots of potential if we can just, you know, have a partnership that lasts more than a season.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't trust Evgeny Krasnopolsky not to come back. Next Olympics, he might turn up with another partner and just
throw
a wrench into things.
Yeah, you never know. But that was the pairs event at Worlds. Again, a bit disappointing in some ways, but there were definitely still some strong points to this. So what was your highlight from this competition?
I think I'm going to give it to Ziegler and Kiefer for just the amount that I'm going to miss them.
Yeah.
I have enjoyed them for so long, and I'm glad that they were able to basically show what they're capable of at their last World Championships. I'm sure they would have wanted clean skates, but this was close enough.
Yeah. And then obviously our winners here, Knyrum and Fraser.
Yeah.
Just so great after all the chaos. The difficulty and chaos of this pairs event that we just had a fantastic,
solid
competition for our winners here. And, you know, even if the Russian and Chinese pair teams were here, who knows, depending on how the skate went, they still might have wound up on the podium. It was that solid.
Yeah, this was wild.
And obviously in terms of the weekly waxel, I mean, anytime there's an injury in competition, it's scary and alarming, and hopefully Ashley is okay and we'll get through this okay. And I hope that this isn't the last that we see of them. It would be a real shame if this was their note to go out on.
Yeah, I'm glad she posted on Instagram she's going to be okay. I don't want to say she is okay because this was clearly very difficult for her, but I really hope that she and Timothy are able to come back for at least a couple of competitions to just go out on a better note than this.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, but that wraps us up for this first discipline of pairs, and we've got the rough discipline out of the way. It is only up from here, because the singles and the dance were really enjoyable segments.
It was a great time. Mm-hmm. Also, before we sign off, this is episode 400.
Yes. We debated, we were just about to start when we realized, oh yeah, this is episode 400. Should we have a more upbeat topic?
It's fine.
It's fine. Just as our 400 episode anniversary present, ISU, do something to help pairs.
Anything. A token attempt would be good enough at this point.
That's all I want at this point. Save pair skating. Do not let it die. All right, that wraps us up for this one. Thank you all so much for listening. Please let us know your thoughts about this weekend figure skating at flutzescast@gmail.com. You can also follow us at flutzescast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for even more skating content.
Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/flutzescast, for bonus episodes, and our merch store, flutzescast.redbubble.com. And if you like what we do, consider leaving us a review wherever you're listening. We'll be back shortly with more Worlds recaps, but until then, keep a watchful eye out for those Flutzes and Waxels, skating fans.